Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning, Dean.
We've got an off day, so I know yesterday was we had some time to talk about players biting each other. Now we can move on. What's the storyline going to be today as we get set for game number two of the Lightning Hawks Cup Final tomorrow?
No, there's nothing really huge that jumps out at me in a particular way. I mean, Tampa blowing the lead, you know, that was kind of covered after the game. I don't know if there's a particularly huge storyline that's going to jump out today.
Let me ask you this. If you're John Cooper, not so much what is your message, because I'm guessing it's stay the course, we were fine. Do you look at making any sort of changes? And I don't think you're going to drastically change your lineup, because certainly your top two lines and your D pairs are that. But do you look at... Is there anything maybe that didn't work for them, in a sense, in game one?
Well, I think the most obvious thing, Dean, is that he'll tell them, if we're winning in the third period, don't sit back like that again. Yeah. You can do it against the Rangers, but you can't do it against the Chicago Blackhawks. Too much firepower and too easy a way to get through it. The only other change, you know, JT Brown made the big mistake, made the big mistake that allowed the winning goal. He got the puck knocked off his stick, and then the winner went off his stick. Maybe they make a change in the lineup like that. But, you know, I mean, other than that, I think the only thing they're going to tell those guys is these aren't the Rangers. You don't play like that when you have a lead against these guys.
Yeah. And for the Hawks, I was saying to Pinder earlier, I don't know that you need to go in there and give a big motivational speech. It just feels like if there's a locker room or a dressing room that would take care of itself, it would be that one. You know what I mean? Between Seabrook and Keith and Taves. Well, you don't need to go in there and tell them what to do.
No, you don't. Sometimes I think they coast. It's not this time. It's the kind of group with three wins left to the big victory. You don't need to walk in there and tell them, yeah, we could be satisfied with a split, but why don't we go 2-0 on the road and kind of really get a stranglehold on this thing. Those guys know it, and they don't need it, and I think Joel Quenneville's well aware of that.
Yeah. Some other things going on. We're going to start really getting close, because all of a sudden it is the 5th of June. We've got the Stanley Cup, and then we've got the awards, and then we've got the draft, and then we've got July 1st. It's a lot to get done here in the next 4 weeks. Restricted free agents who need deals. I know there's big talk right now in Boston surrounding Dougie Hamilton. Is he going to be going after Petrangelo Doughty numbers?
He could try, but he's not at that level. You know, I just can't see him getting 7. I don't see it. Maybe he goes for a bridge. You know, I don't think he's going to be in that kind of a position. I mean, the biggest question this year is going to be, Dean, do we see an offer sheet? And, you know, the guy that everybody kind of talks about is Tarasenko. You know, St. Louis is going to match whatever teams do. There's no question about that. And if it's Hamilton or if it's Saad or if it's Toffoli, teams will match that too. But, you know, you could really wreak havoc in their roster and force them to do things a little bit differently. I look at Toffoli. You know, Dean Lombardi said last week that obviously Toffoli is one of our first priorities. From what I can see, they're not that close. So I think there's a couple of guys here. I know these teams are loath about doing offer sheets, but this is where you kind of have an opportunity to do an offer sheet, not because you think you're going to get a guy, but because you can take a look at one of your rivals and say, we're going to really screw you up here. And there's the opportunity to do it, and I think we're all waiting to see if it ever even happens.
You think Saad or Kruger is a more likely target? I think, you know, much like Tarasenko would be matched by St. Louis, Chicago's got to keep Saad, but Kruger might be the guy you could really make them uncomfortable and pry out of there.
Yes, I would agree that if it happens to Kruger, I think they'd probably let him walk. You know, Stan Bowman was quoted last week as telling one of the reporters in Chicago, we're going to get Saad signed. So that says to me that they've got pretty far down the road there. They kind of know what they're talking about. I did a game in Chicago in February, and I sat down with Bowman at the morning skate that day, and we talked about the cap issue, and the number one thing he talked about was Saad, and how he knew that was what he had to work around to make sure he got done. So that says to me he's been working on it very quietly, and that quote last week is pretty bold for him. So I'm guessing with Saad, the Blackhawks have done a lot of work there, and they know that he's the guy they got to keep. I think they like Kruger a lot, Ryan, but I do agree with you. If they get an offer sheet of his way, they probably take the draft picks.
What's the level of, I guess, what do you take from the Rick Nash could be traded stuff that's coming out of New York? Is that just guy has bad playoff, they lose in heartbreaking fashion, easy to pick on the you know, the big name player and get him traded? Or do you think there's some legitimacy to it?
There's legitimacy to it. I don't think he necessarily 100% gets traded, but I do think that they're going to look at it. You know, they have some cap issues. You know, they're going to have to sign Derek Stepan. They're going to have to sign Hagelin. They're going to have to sign JT Miller. And pretty soon they're going to have to sign Kevin Hayes. They're not going to be able to do all of this. To me, they have two moves that they can really do to loosen up the logjam. Number one is Nash, and number two is one of their defensemen. And I think both are kind of a possibility. You know, I think what you're going to see this year, Dean, is we're going to see a lot of teams say about their guys, I'm not sure that we're going to trade this guy, but we're going to put his name out there and see what his market value is. And that's going to happen with Nash. They're going to talk to teams. They're going to say, look, if Rick Nash was available, what would he be worth? And, you know, Nash has a no trade until July 1st, and then it becomes a limited no trade. So they know where they're going to be able to trade him to.
Yeah.
Because they'll know who he's going to be interested in going to. And I think that's what they'll do.
Boy, you mentioned Stepan and Hagelin. They're great players, but you got to get those. And both of those guys, certainly Derek Stepan at 24 years of age. That's a guy who's going to want and probably deserve big dough.
Well, Brassard's making 5-5, right, as their other center.
5-5,
so you're starting there.
Yeah, no kidding. So, and
that's what you're doing.
Yeah,
and Marty's going to go back there, right? I mean, St. Louis wanted to play.
I don't know if they're going to sign him, Ryan.
Really?
I think they may tell him, we just don't have the room. Now, to me, that's the other question here about Nash. Like, it's so hard to get into the playoffs now. Nash has 42 goals in the regular season, and even if you don't like the way he played in the playoffs, you got to get in there. And how are you going to replace all that scoring if you trade Rick Nash? That's the question I would also have for the Rangers is, he got you there. Maybe he didn't like the way he played when he was there. That's your decision. But he gets you there, and it's hard to get there. And I no doubt they'll weigh that too.
32 even strength goals led the league.
I mean,
I know his playoffs haven't been good, but that's a very, very big thing to replace.
And he's a good defensive player. He kills penalties for them. He was an MVP candidate this year. And you ask any player, it's just as hard now to get into the Stanley Cup final as it is to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs as it is to win the Stanley Cup. You take Rick Nash out of New York, you know, you're obviously going to be doing that for cap relief. So you don't want guys making as much money, but is that going to replace what Rick Nash brings to you during the regular season?
Are you hearing anything, and we've hit on a couple there, and it's just kind of broad conversation, but are you hearing on any specific team that with a playoff loss this year that it's really ratcheted up? Like, which general manager do we keep an eye on between the draft floor and July 1st coming up here in the next month?
St. Louis. That's going to be a big one. You know, I think what Doug Armstrong is doing, look, he knows he's got to pay Tarasenko, and that's going to be a big number. So St. Louis is not a cap team. They're a budget team. So I think what he's doing is figuring out, look, I'm turning my team over. I'm handing it to Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz and, you know, some of the forwards there. You know, Backes, Oshie, Berglund, are any of these guys going to be particularly difficult about not being the core top forward anymore? And if so, that player goes. I think you're going to see Doug Armstrong is going to be very active. I think Pittsburgh, I think they really want to find more help for Crosby and Malkin, and that's going to mean that they're going to make some interesting moves or try some interesting things. Toronto, Babcock's arrival may change a little bit, but they were looking at a scorched earth kind of roster, get guys out and start all over again. Ottawa obviously is talking about their goalies. One guy is going to go. I think there's a lot. I think there's an awful lot out there. It's going to be crazy. I think the draft this year has the potential. I mean, it's going to be interesting because the draft always is. But in terms of player movement, I think it has a chance to be one of the wildest drafts that we've seen.
The goaltending market, you mentioned Ottawa, and that sort of stuck in my ear for a bit because they've got a lot in net. They signed Matt O'Connor, the BU free agent. They just locked up Andrew Hammond to a three-year contract. And Leonard and Anderson have both thought at times to be guys that could be the number one. Who else is available out there if you're a team like Edmonton or San Jose or you're trying to improve net money? What does this market look like?
The market, is pretty interesting. I mean, I think the team everybody talks about is Anaheim, okay? What is Bob Barry going to do? He's got Anderson and he's got Gibson. Is there any way, now that Anderson was the starter of the playoffs, is there any way a guy like Gibson is available? My indication for Bob Murray is he's got those two guys signed for a great number for another year. He probably keeps them both and then makes his decision. But, people are going to call him and they're going to ask him. So that's one. I mean, there's Eddie Lack. Vancouver's got an extra goalie. I mean, they've got to make a decision on Markstrom. They think he can play in the NHL. So maybe next year their team is Miller and Markstrom, and Eddie Lack goes and plays somewhere else. Like, in your city, I'm not convinced that either Rammel or Hiller is 100% coming back next year, that maybe Calgary has a new goalie in net. Does Hiller have any trade value after he had a decent run in the playoffs before the end? And what's an interesting one now, too, is Winnipeg. I don't know how much interest there is in a Pavlik or a Hutchison, but after watching Hellebuck at the World Championships, is that kid ready to play? And is Winnipeg going to be in a position where they say, we can make a move now to add something to our team? So I think the goalie market, there's a lot out there. I think that, if you're looking for a goalie this year, you're going to have options in terms of guys to look at, especially if you think, if you like Kari Lehtinen, you can get him now for probably a lower price than in the past. So if you think he's a guy that can solve your problem, you're going to have a chance to get him for, 30, 40 cents on the dollar if you really want to do it.
One of the last things I wanted to talk to you about, I know that the other guys had the scoop on the big Pittsburgh Penguins pursuing a sale, and I found it interesting that you had been telling us the very same thing for about a month prior, so I don't know who hands out the scoop awards, but anyway... Mario Lemieux, Ron Burkle, the two owners, now reportedly not on the same page. This is not just hey, let's see if we can get some dough. There's a rift, or at least philosophically there's a rift. Would this have to do with a trade Malkin, keep Malkin, or what kind of a situation is going on there?
I think it goes back a bit farther than that, Dean. And I saw your tweet. That was very nice of you.
Wow.
But, I think that, look, I think this whole thing started a couple of years ago with Ray Shiro and Dan Bylsma. They wanted, I believe, ownership, and I'm not sure who it was specifically, but I believe ownership wanted Dan Bylsma fired the year before he got fired. And Ray Shiro said, you hired me to be your general manager. If you want me to be your general manager, let me make the decisions. If not, fire me. And they said, okay. So a year later, they get knocked out in the second round. They blow the 3-1 lead to the Rangers. They fire Shiro. They eventually fire Bylsma. I believe the Fishers and ownership were starting around that time. There have been rumors that Ron Burkle wanted to sell a year ago, but either he was talked out of it or decided not to do it. And then, like, when you get knocked out the day after get knocked out of the playoffs, and the day after, you know, your president comes out and says, look, we're not firing Mike Johnston, we're not firing Jim Rutherford, we're not trading Evgeny Malkin, and we're not trading Sidney Crosby. Now, I can understand you coming out and saying the first two, but why would you need to say the next two? Why do you have to tell everybody we're not trading Malkin or Crosby?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the sale rumors went wild, because are the Pittsburgh Penguins a more valuable team to buy with Crosby and Malkin in the lineup or out of the lineup? And I think the answer is B. So that's when everybody started to say, okay, something's going on here. And look, they're not trading Crosby, but I will tell you this. There have been rumors about Malkin's happiness, about whether or not he wants to stay, and I think that was directed exactly at them. I have no idea if the Penguins are going to trade Malkin. I would suspect no until a sale gets done, but I can tell you this. There are people around the league who've been saying they've been hearing rumors that Malkin is not happy and would welcome a change of scenery. So you never know if that's just a frustration thing and they just say we're going to deal with it and handle it internally, or if it would ever happen, but it's not happening right now while the team is on the market.
Do you still think Sid holds a sway in a big way in terms of player personnel? Like if he went in and said, I do not want him traded, that would have the effect?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if he would do that, number one. But I think they would run something like that by him. I don't think that kind of a deal would ever happen without him knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you have to realize there is Pat Brisson, who represents Crosby, and his partner, J.P. Barrie, represents Malkin. Pat Brisson has a long history with Mario Lemieux. You know, they're friends for a long time. They're both Quebec guys. There's a good relationship there. I think that for that reason, Brisson has always kind of known what's going to happen there, and he's bounced it off Sid. It's an easy relationship to manage between those three guys. So do I necessarily think Sid demands certain things? I don't know. I'm sure at times the last few years he's been very frustrated. But I think you don't have to necessarily go through him, because the agent and the owner know each other very well and they can run things through each other that way.
Well, good stuff. We'll get you back to work tomorrow. If Tampa loses game two, is this thing done?
Look, who's betting against Chicago, dude?
Yeah, I know.
Like, seriously, who's betting against Taves?
Not me.
Not it.
Who's betting against Keith?
Yeah, not right now. Yeah.
Like, Stanley Cup final. Like, I really like Tampa a lot. People were telling me, who do you think is going to win? I said, are you the guy who's betting against those two guys?
And it sounds silly, but when Warner was still here, I said the same thing to him. Which round? He took the Ducks. I said, I just can't go against Jonathan Toews.
He also took
I really thought the Ducks were going to win that series, too. I said, if anyone's going to beat those guys, it's that team. And look, here they are. They went 15 games without losing in regulation in the playoffs, and they still couldn't beat those guys. Like, in the final, I said, I'm not making that mistake again.
No.
I'm just like, okay, you pick the Lightning. I realize they're great. I'm not betting against those two guys.
Have a good weekend, man. We'll be watching tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Take care.